truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I'm getting one of those thrills I get about America. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Jackson told me that she believes 100% that...
You know, Donald Trump, I want to talk to this guy.
Well, first, with regard to Levi...
Oh.
I can still pleasure you.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We have confidence in the fact that the information we bring you, because it is absolute, honest analysis and is not filtered through any kind of jive ideology, we've got confidence that you're going to go away from this radio show saying, well, at least this cat gave it to me straight, you know? I mean, it hurts, and I'm bleeding a little bit.
Oh man, there you go. There you go. I knew you'd step over the line.
Oh, I didn't step over any line, man. Come on. Sometimes you just got to bite down and, you know, just chew on that towel, huh, bud?
What are you asking me for?
You ought to know, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you ought to know is right. 877-876-PHIL. First hour we spent trying to clear up all of the horse dung around Cheney and the CIA. Hey, let me tell you something. If there was something there, I'd be happy to talk about it. And then we had to talk about WorldNet Daily, and we had to talk about John Boehner. He doesn't know his ass from 40 cents a week. And then we had to talk about Palin and disabuse all of the people that don't like her from the notion that she's going to be president. You guys can relax. Schuster, relax. Matthews, relax. Rachel, relax. Whoever else, relax. Sarah Palin was never going to be president of the United States. Get off it. You're beginning to sound like PETA. You know what? You know what's wrong with PETA, don't you? PETA, it's not that PETA purposefully goes out and chooses these chicken crap causes because, you know, they want to get a little bit of that humorous and sometimes self-effacing attention. They don't mind mocking themselves. The thing that's wrong with you guys at PETA is you're getting dull. Do you understand? You're getting dull. Every little chicken crap animal rights thing, from the fish getting caught to the insects getting stepped on to somebody's got crabs and you want to go and pick at that guy's house, the poor guy is itching up and down a storm, you know.
Are you kidding me? You know a guy like that?
I'll bet you money there's somebody out there who's suffering from a poor devil, somebody probably got in a locker at some workout joint, you know, not that he's himself not fastidious, I would never say that, but he's probably got all kinds of medicines and whatever you put on that, you know, gasoline. And PETA's out there, he's killing the crabs. I understand it's a problem. You go, what is it? Well, crabs are creatures. Are you crazy or something, man? They're in my clothes. They're in my furniture. What do you mean they're creatures? Anyway. So you're getting dull with a lot. In other words, it's like as I mentioned, skinheads, the air, you know, like the racist movement in this country, like the whites are the greatest, those people. The problem with your movement, if any of you are listening, is that you're not funny. You know, there's something that is unfunny, I guess, about unrelenting hate. You gotta change it up a little bit, baby. You gotta do something a little, you know, entertain people. But if it's the same strident, dull message, then what do you think people are going to go, man? Their eyes glaze over, and they just as soon sit and eat apples with razor blades in them. Just be, in other words, they'd be the safety tester for all the kids with the Halloween food. I mean, they'd rather be the poison tester for what? Who's that guy over there? Ahmadinejad. Anything. Then listen to you with your latest problem. So what we're doing here on this show is trying to get you as directly to what's going on as we possibly can. Now, you heard me talking ad nauseum about the Palin situation, and we were talking about the Cheney thing. We excoriated the New York Times, and we said that the jackballs over at MSNBC, which that's the biggest gag. Those guys are beautiful, though, aren't they? Because they're so entertaining. I'm not, you know, we're never not going to talk about them. I mean, from Oberman, who looks like he ought to be fitted with a straitjacket, to Maddow, who looks like she's just hanging on by her teeth, to Matthews, who I don't know what his problem is, but I think it has something to do with crabs.
That's a cheap shot.
No, it's just that he looks like he's itching. He's always got something going up his leg, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's right. However, on the other side, it's equally nefarious and it's equally disgusting and it's beginning to piss me off just like everybody else. When are you guys going to get the message? WorldNet Daily, There's a lot of things you do in this business. As a talk show host, you do a little training. You train producers. You train screeners. Not that my crew that I have presently needed to learn this, but when I started, I had a crew of people who needed to know that WorldNet Daily is not a news site. WorldNet Daily is, what would I call that? Well, it's like reading the Aryan Nations website, only it's just maybe not quite as extreme, or maybe more, depending upon your point of view. It's like reading Daily Kos. WorldNet Daily is Daily Kos gussied up to look like a news site. Wikipedia, according to WorldNet Daily, just can't seem to make up its mind about where President Barack Obama was born. This was written by Joe Kovacs. This is Joe's idea of news. The free online encyclopedia, written and edited entirely by its users this weekend, displayed at least two countries the commander-in-chief may have been born in, the United States and Kenya. Now, the guy that owns Wikipedia, or the guy that funds it, and I'm not exactly sure what it is that he does, he's made this a personal crusade. Where was Obama born? And that's why on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this hour, we're going to have if I can find our... This is another example of what we call out of material. In other words, if there isn't anything to report... Well, there's plenty to report, but if there isn't anything to report that you guys understand, you know, that you can get your lips around, if you'll pardon the expression, then you got to go back and dig up some of the tried and true stuff, huh? And that's why tonight's Out of Material Award goes to WorldNet Daily as they keep beating this "Where Was Obama Born?" thing to death. Wikipedia. Let me tell you something, man. You know, going to Wikipedia to find out what's going on, you might as well go and talk to a guy with Alzheimer's. Hey, Grandpa, what's happening?
Well,
let me see. War of 1812 is, yeah. The first online encyclopedia written and edited entirely by its users and readers and nefarious types and denizens of the deep and guys that are sitting around just paddling it displayed at least two countries that the commander-in-chief may have been born in. WND documented how the entry for the early life and career of Barack Obama changed numerous times. Then 20 minutes later, they saw he was born in America. Then he was born in Honolulu. Then he was born in America. Then he was born in Honolulu. Now, WorldNet Daily says that they are an independent news company dedicated, to uncompromising journalism, seeking truth and justice. This is such a lie. Truth and justice and revitalizing the role of the free press as a guardian of liberty. That is an abject lie, because if it were true, if it were true, you wouldn't be able to track their editorial position by ideology. Every single right of center candidate, every single right of center issue is either endorsed or held by this news site. So that's not a free and unfettered press. That's not seeking truth and justice, because truth and justice does not just come from the right side of the political aisle. It just doesn't. It just doesn't come from the left side. The Coast ain't got it, and WorldNet Daily ain't got it, and I ain't got it, but you know what? I'm closer to it than either one of them, because I don't feel like I have to get up in the morning and justify my existence by calling myself either a conservative or a liberal or a neocon or a progressive or a Republican or a Democrat. But they don't care. All they want to do is make sure you guys are good and stupid at the end of the day. What purpose does this article have? None. All it does is seek to continue this asinine discussion we're having about where Barack Obama was born. Asinine. You want to know why? Not one candidate for the presidency of the United States has had to run a gauntlet like Obama has as to where he was born. Not one president, not one candidate for the presidency has ever had to dig through his past, has ever had to go through the beginnings of his life, has ever had to justify his lineage, has ever had to reinvestigate the land of his birth as many times as Obama's been asked to do until this guy became president of the United States. And when I had one of these guys on the show, I forget his name because they all run together, some jackass who was, you know, filing a lawsuit, I said, and of the other presidents that you've vetted, tell me, what have you found? The other president, what do you mean? I said, well, of the other candidates that you vetted, what did you find? Well, I don't. You mean Obama's the only one? Well, he's the only one that had the serious question. Oh, he's the only one that had the serious question because you had a serious question. Well, guess what? I got a serious question. I got questions about all kinds of guys. I'd like to know where Biden was born. And just to show that I'm nonpartisan, I'd sure as hell like to know where Palin was born, because I sure as hell don't think she was from, she ain't from Alaska, I know that, and I don't even think she's from Idaho. I think she comes from Canada, if you want my honest opinion. So did you vet all those guys? Did you dig into that? Well, we never had a you never had a serious question. There was never a serious question about Obama. You people are being lied to every single day by every single one of these so-called self-appointed guardians of truth and justice. Because if they have an editorial policy that toes an ideological line, you're being lied to. And we got to fool around with this, man. You know, like I said, how much more can we take? How many other problems could we be devoting our energy and our wisdom and our wit to instead of this chicken crap? All right, coming up next, we got Sonia Sotomayor. Speaking of chicken, actually, this was the least vexing of all the problems today, if I could use that word again. They sat her down, they said their piece, because all these senators have to parade who they are and what they are, and then they said to her, well, you know what, you'll probably become a United States Congress, or whatever the hell it is. We don't even know why you're here. What is it again? Supreme Court Justice? Oh, yes, Supreme Court Justice. Yeah, we'll vote for you. All right, that's next here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, and then as you like to hear her, Sarah Palin, our special guest at the bottom of the hour, 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Man, you guys are quiet tonight, man. Let's go with the phone calls. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get the calls coming in here, because you are being manipulated by ideology. Forget about, well, you know, let's forget everything I said about WorldNet Daily and the New York Times. I'm talking about your favorite. Have you got a favorite congressperson? Have you got a favorite senator? Have you got a favorite candidate for president? Maybe it was John McCain. Guess what? He's lying to your ass, too. John's a nice guy. We had him on the show. But John's not educated. He's not educated. He has a political philosophy that he has been married to since forever, and he doesn't know what to do without it. He doesn't know what to do without it. And the same is true on the other side. When I think of a guy like Teddy Kennedy, everybody loves him. Teddy Kennedy wouldn't know what to do without that God-blessed political philosophy that he's got. So you may have somebody you support, okay? As long as you call yourself something. If you call yourself a conservative, you're lying to yourself. If you call yourself a liberal, you're lying to yourself. If you call yourself a progressive, if you call yourself a neocon, if you call yourself a Republican, you're lying to yourself. You're lying. You're giving yourself an excuse not to have to articulate what you believe. All you have to do is say, I'm a Republican. Or I'm a Democrat, see? And I'm sorry, it ain't that easy. And you want to know why the country's got problems? It isn't what that guy called in. He's a very nice man. He said, we need to vote more. We have to be... No, we don't have to vote more. As a matter of fact, I personally recommend that we stay at the same levels in terms of voting, because I don't think we're bright enough yet to really turn out en masse at every level when it comes to electing people to office. I think the people that are actually turning out en masse, well, they're a representation of who we are anyway. They're highly politicized. Highly motivated, but very, very politicized, very strident, really partisan people. And that's pretty much where the country is right now. So we don't need to vote anymore. What we need to do is free our minds, you know. Free your mind, your ass will follow.
Yeah, that was from Apocalypse Now, wasn't it?
No, it was from Platoon.
Yeah, I told you.
No. Yes, Platoon. All right, Sonia Sotomayor was in front of the United States Senate, a collection of them anyway, a few of these senators, and her confirmation all but assured. Sonia Sotomayor pledged on Monday to serve the large interest of impartial justice rather than any narrower cause if she becomes the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court. In other words, this was another non-starter to this whole Latina woman thing. It was misinterpreted from the gate. It may not have been the best articulated thing in the world, but it was misinterpreted from the gate. And as I said to you guys before this started, there is no more meaningful exercise. There's no more meaningless exercise in the history of this world than standing around and jawjacking the political or ideological bent of Supreme Court justices. You might as well be standing there and lighten dollar bills with a blowtorch. That's how much good it does. You could ask her how she thinks about this, that, this, that. That isn't what it's about. It's about whether or not she has the skill, she has the experience, she has the knowledge to interpret current law through our Constitution. Judge Sotomayor explained that she would not be an activist judge.
In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. Fidelity to the law. The task of a judge is not to make law. It is to apply the law.
All right, here is Sotomayor saying her legal rulings were always impartial.
Throughout my 17 years on the bench, I have witnessed the human consequences of my decisions. Those decisions have not been made to serve the interests of any one litigant, but always to serve the larger interest of impartial justice.
Now, here's Senator Patrick Leahy kicking a pro-life protester out during Senator Dianne Feinstein's opening remarks. The protester shouting, "What about the unborn? What about the unborn?" And Leahy unzips his pants. And, no, he didn't.
There's everything in your record to indicate that you...
I got it swinging right here.
The Senate will... The place where we move that man.
The man. Get him.
Let me make very clear.
Get out of here.
There will be no outbursts allowed in this committee.
Why not?
Either for or against the nominee.
How come?
Either for or against any position that Senator Sessions or I or any other senator will have. This is a hearing of the United States Senate.
Right.
We will have order.
Oh, good.
We will have decorum.
I thought it was the DMV. Now, here is Chuck, don't call me Ashley Grassley, from Iowa. He's concerned that Sotomayor may use her experience to color the way she'd rule on a case.
Your wise Latina comment starkly contradicts a statement by Justice O'Connor that a wise old man and a wise old woman would eventually reach the same conclusion in a case.
What about the unborn?
These statements go directly to your views of how a judge should use his or her background and experience when deciding cases.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I fear they don't comport with what I and many others believe is the proper role of a judge or an appropriate judicial method.
Now here is Senator Russ Feingold warning about defining judicial activism.
I suggest to everyone watching today that they be a little wary of a phrase that they're hearing at this hearing. Judicial activism. That term really seems to have lost all usefulness, particularly since so many rulings of the conservative majority on the Supreme Court can fairly be described as activists in their disregard for precedent and their willingness to ignore or override the intent of Congress.
What about the unborn?
At this point, perhaps we should all accept that the best definition of a judicial activist is a judge who decides a case in a way you don't like.
That's, he said it right there. Good one. There you go. What's his name? Give that guy a cookie. That's it. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. He's an activist. See, once again, we are caught up, although if she makes any ruling that I don't agree with. Anyway, here we have Senator Dick Durbin, who is, as you know, one of the brighter bulbs on the tree. Not. Here's another protester getting booted out. Couldn't have picked a better time, sir. Wait a minute. No, here's Lindsey Graham first.
Unless you have a...
Thank you. Now here is Dick Durbin.
We need justices whose wisdom...
The officer will remove the person. The officer will remove the person. We will stand. The time will go. As I've said before, and both Senator Sessions and I have said... You are guests of the Senate while you are here. Everybody is a guest of the Senate. Judge Sotomayor deserves respect to be heard. These senators deserve the respect of being heard.
Mm-hmm. All right, so basically what he's saying is that everyone's a guest, please don't use our towels. Now here is Chris Matthews.
Well, I'm getting one of those thrills I get about America. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say this, and I'm getting it again. When she talked about sitting at that table and not being a genius like Barack Obama, not being one of these people that can walk into a college scholarship, who had to sweat for it.
What happened?
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
You sure did, man. Well, now we know, see? And that's why PETA is picketing Matthews' house right now.
Oh, he had the crabs.
Exactly. All right, 8-7. You know, I gave short shrift there to Lindsey Graham, and I shouldn't do that. With all seriousness, here is Senator Graham, as he had some remarks that he wanted to make.
Unless you have a complete meltdown, you're going to get...
Oh, shut up. Now, no, here he is.
Unless you have a complete meltdown, you're going to get confirmed.
What about the unborn?
And I don't think you will, but...
No, the unborn.
You know, the drama's being created here is a
almost boring.
Is interesting. And my Republican colleagues who vote against you, I assure you, could vote for a Hispanic nominee. They just feel unnerved by your speeches and by some of the things that you've said.
All right, that's great, Lindsay. All right, coming up next is Sarah Palin, an excellent hero.
Phil Hendry.
Life, I felt this curling up my leg.
What about the unborn?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Because that's what I want, man. I told you. He's bugging me about why I've got a couple of double shots and I've got a couple of Starbucks because that's what I want. That's what I want, and that's what I'm going to have.
That's weird.
It may be weird, man, but you're weirder, okay? You're the guy with the dent in his head. Let's go over to a phone call, and we have our As You Like to Hear Them interview this evening with Sarah Palin, former governor. Well, until the 26th, I think, of this month. Here is Craig in Oklahoma City. Craig, what can we do for you tonight?
Phil, is there any truth to the rumor that that was Larry Grover that got hauled out of the Sotomayor hearing today? I heard it was Larry Grover.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, listen.
I don't know that Larry. He can't afford to travel that far.
Yeah, that's probably true. It was really a coincidence. I was sitting here just checking my email, just as you brought up the Obama birth certificate thing. Now, I'm not advocating position. I don't have a dog in this fight, and I couldn't care less, to be honest with you. But I just got a note from a close friend who said that this afternoon, a district court judge in California, in the case of Obama or Keyes versus Obama. This is Alan Keyes. The case that he brought on the birth certificate issue, the judge ruled today there will be no more exclusions, no more delays. The case is going to trial and will be heard on the merits. And you can have Jason try to check it out.
It's a procedural ruling. Supporters of the case that dispute the legitimacy of Obama claim a small victory on U.S. District Judge John Carter told them to fix their paperwork, whatever that means, and that he would listen to the merits of their case. That doesn't mean it's going to trial. It means he's going to listen to the merits of their case. What it means basically is the following, that ruling, which was they have no standing. All these judges said, you can't bring this.
Right.
You have no standing because you are not a injured party.
Correct.
That judge said, well, here's some problems with your paperwork. Once you fix that, I'll listen to the merits of your case. But that doesn't mean it's going to trial.
Well, if he listens to the merits, that's a bench trial. It may not go, it probably won't go to a jury, but it's a bench trial.
He's deciding as to whether it's almost like an arraignment in a criminal case. He's deciding as to whether or not there is enough there to actually bother the public with it, basically. See?
Not so.
And
sure.
Then this case, if this goes to trial, you think Obama's attorneys are going to want this just to simply be a, I don't know what they would choose, to be honest with you, whether they want a judge or whether they want a jury trial. I don't know what the lawsuit is exactly, that he's not president or that they want him to produce a birth certificate or that they think the birth, you know, what exactly are they saying?
Well,
but nonetheless, you're right.
If Keyes wins the case, what's the remedy? A judge? Keyes versus Obama. Let's say that the judge rules, he's not, he's illegitimate.
They're a long way from, because there will immediately be an appeal. I don't know what they'll do, you know, pending an appeal. But they're not even close to going to trial with this, man. You think this is a trial. It's not.
Well, that's
you think that this is going to decide something. Huh?
The plaintiff's attorney is saying that the case is going to trial on its merits. I'm just reporting what he's saying.
I'm telling you what I'm reading. I'm telling you what the story says. I didn't hear the plaintiff's attorney. It says that the judge will consider the merits.
Yeah. Well, it's coincidentally enough.
Others presented for the hearing Monday at the federal courthouse in Santa Ana stressed that the case remains a long way from ever getting a full airing in court and may never get to that point.
So this is a motion for summary. Summary judgment is what it sounds like. A motion to dismiss.
Are you reading the same thing that I'm reading, the LA Times article?
No,
you've got to read the reporter here, the LA Times. Not that he's got any better information from you. As a matter of fact, Craig, you probably got it far better than he does. But what he's claiming is this is simply a U.S. district judge hearing the merits of the case, but that it is not. If he says, okay, the case has merit, it doesn't mean that we've made a decision. That doesn't mean that at all. Thanks very much for your call. It's Craig. I appreciate it, man. And it's time now, as we usually do this time each week, for our As You Like to Hear Them interview. And tonight we have with us the governor and soon to be retired governor and, you know, off into the wild blue yonder governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And Governor, boy, did you ever think that your announcement of retirement would be attended by so much controversy?
Well, Phil, I got to tell you, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your program. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure.
You come to expect anything in this business. I got into this business, as you know my story, and I've said it a million times. I was a soccer mom, and I was a housewife, and then I decided I ran for mayor, and I did all of these things. But I was like any other woman. I was like any other woman. I was gutting fish. I was chasing moose down on foot. I guess that's not.
But that's not exactly like every other woman.
No, you're right. It is. But what I'm saying is I was typical for the women in my area, where I'm from, Alaska and Idaho. I'm originally from Idaho, and you made some crack about me being Canadian. Why did you say that, by the way?
About you being Canadian?
Yeah.
Because you got this kind of toddy-night. I don't know. It sounded like Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, yeah. I do. I affect that because I figured if I was going to be a soccer mom, I had to do that. You know?
What do you mean?
Well, if I'm going to be a soccer mom, then I've got to go toddy-night and, you know, and Wayzata, you know, stuff like that. So.
I see. So it's a way of relating?
Is that it?
Is it a way of relating?
Yeah, the way of relating to people. You interrupted me. I was going on, and I wanted to continue.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So it started when I was born, and, well, we don't have to go through that, do we?
No, well, look, let me ask you some questions here about this resignation.
Well, hold on for a minute, because I'm still answering the other question.
All right.
So I was gutting sheep or whatever I did. I forget what I said.
You said you were chasing moose down on foot and gutting fish?
Yes, chasing moose down on foot.
And are you telling the truth?
About what?
About chasing moose down on foot?
No, I'm not, but that's what... Boy, you're kind of late to the game, aren't you?
Oh, that's the public... I'm sorry. All right, so that's the public pronouncement?
Yes, thank you. Jeez. How long have you been doing this, man?
All right, I'm sorry.
So I was chasing moose down on foot, and I was shooting them from helicopter, whatever, you know, made me look good. And then they said, well, why don't you make a run for that governorship? Because I'd been a mayor, and I figure... And I did. I ran for governor, and I won, and we did a good job. Now, McCain came along, and he said, boy, you're it. You've got all the credentials. And I said, but I'm just a woman. And he said, some hell of a woman to me. No, he didn't say that, but, he eyeballed me. He's a man, isn't he?
You tell me that Senator McCain gave you the look, the once over?
Oh, that guys are always doing that. I mean, that's no big thing. You expect that, you know. You expect that. The thing that I was worried about when people were talking about me becoming vice president, or even president for that matter, if I go overseas and I meet up with some guy like that at Ahmadinejad in Iran, and he's licking his lips and he's going, mm-hmm, and his eyeballs are going from my feet to my head, and he's not listening to anything that I'm saying, I will again say to you, I've got experience chasing moose down and gutting them on sight.
Meaning you would have a very bad opinion of him.
Yeah, and I would be tempted to do the same thing. Although chasing him down and a moose, he'd be easy. I'd knock him to the ground, and I'd have him gutted, filleted, dressed, fully dressed out, and delivered to an orphanage within, I'd say, a good 30 to 45 minutes. Because that's how good I am. But let's talk about my retirement.
Yeah, all right. Last Saturday, you'd have him gutted. Oh, God.
I'm serious. I would never do that. But I could take a guy like Ahmadinejad, and I could...
All of that stuff about you being able to field dress a moose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can field dress a moose with the best of them. Saks Fifth Avenue had a sale on pantyhose. I'm joking.
Yeah, I get it.
About field dressing them?
Yes, I get it.
But anyway, with Ahmadinejad, no, I'm not kidding. But I'm not going to talk about a foreign leader like that. Although with him, I guess, yeah. But if he took off running, if I had that look in my eye and he knew that Sarah Palin's not over here to talk to me, Sarah Palin's not over here to negotiate, Sarah Palin's not over here to be diplomatic, Sarah Palin came over here to chase me down on foot and field dress me, he'd turn around and sprint, and I'd say within 40 minutes I'd have the whole thing wrapped up. He'd be in butcher paper and on sale at Vaughn's. Now, that's how good I am, but I would not do that.
When you resigned from the governorship, we heard so much criticism of you continuing that you were not bright, that you were not educated in the issues, that your social stand was dangerous, that you were a strident right-winger. and so on and so forth. Some of it sounding outright sexist. You dealt with all of this. You heard what Senator McCain said, you know, having to do with your candidacy.
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Well, he was actually, he said something I thought was very sympathetic. Of course, you would expect him to be sympathetic, and we'll hear it together. As a matter of fact, Governor, Senator McCain was upset. He was quite frankly upset with the attacks that you had endured.
I have never seen the sustained personal family attacks that were made on Sarah Palin and her family in my
turn
life.
It, I mean,
Carl
Cannon
has a very interesting piece.
What do you want me to turn
about
off?
About the media establishment and the attacks that were made on her. And I'm sure that that had some impact.
Thank God.
I wasn't even able to hear what he said.
I have never seen.
What are you trying to do? I said turn it off.
Personal family attacks that were made on
Sarah Palin
and her family.
Why don't you want to hear this? Because of the one thing. Here it comes.
Carl Cannon has a very interesting piece about the
Carl Cannon has an interesting piece.
And the attacks that were made on
her. Will you cut it off, man, so I can tell you what I'm there. Thank you. I didn't want to hear that because he did the thing that they all do. And that's why I didn't want to hear it.
What thing?
He started in with the blah, 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 which is fine, and I don't mind that. But then he does what they all do. Why, there was recently an interesting piece in the, see? And when they do that, I know that they're not playing with a full deck because they all do that, and they don't all read the newspaper. I know John was not up reading the newspaper this morning and saw a, quote, Carl Cameron piece. I know that that didn't happen. John, I knew where John was. John was face down on a chaise out in his back patio because they'd had a late barbecue. And how do I know that? Because I came in early, Todd and I, or should I say Tad, because that's what they want me to say. We came, we talked to Cindy, we had coffee, and I said, what's that? She said, it's John. I looked outside. And so I know he wasn't reading the paper this morning. He didn't see Carl Cameron's piece. I saw Carl Cameron's piece.
You were at Senator McCain's house this morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I walked in. Todd and I came over for coffee.
Right.
And Cindy says, come on in. We go in the kitchen. She's making coffee, and she's reading the piece. I saw her reading the Carl Cameron piece, and I said, who's that goofy-looking rat? I thought it was Alfred E. Newman. She said, no, it's Cameron from Fox. I said, oh, yeah, because it was upside down. And she says, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I said, what's that? Because it looked like it looked like a field-dressed moose. And it turned out to be John. He was face down on a chaise. He was wearing a sports shirt. And his hair was mussed up, and there was a martini glass on his side. And she said, he's sick of the whole thing. He can't take it any longer. I said, what? He said, well, we had people over, and he was guzzling the gin pretty good. And he finally said, you know, I'm tired of the game. I'm tired of having to read Carl Cameron pieces and say that I did. So she read it.
You're telling me that Senator McCain was passed out drunk?
Did I say that?
Well, you said he's passed out on a chaise.
I said he was asleep on a chaise. You know, you do sleep at night, don't you?
Well, I mean, you're telling me the guy's in a sports shirt and his hair's messed up?
Yeah, his hair was messed up. He slept outside. You've never done that.
So, all right, so Cindy McCain...
No, hold on. I want to find out. Have you ever done that?
Done what?
Have you ever slept outside because you were too tired and drunk to go inside?
Yes, I guess we all have.
No. Not yes, I guess we all have. Have you, individually, Phil Hendry, ever slept outside because you were too drunk to get up off the chaise and go inside and sleep, yes or no?
You know, this is not the Sotomayor hearings here.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering.
Yes.
Okay, but I haven't. Now,
bull crap. Okay, so the point being what?
The point is this. As everybody wanted John McCain to be president, guess who was up reading the Carl Cameron piece? Me. So if he were president, I could full imagine some mornings where, well, we need the president because the president's got to come out here. Well, he's not here. We've got to get Vice President Palin, and I have to go, and I have to fill in while he's laying there, you know, on his back on the dichondra with ducks quacking wherever it was that he was going to be, right, and an empty bottle of Stoli. So I'm saying to you that it's a damn good thing that we didn't get elected, you know, because you never know. So all I'm saying...
all you're saying is what? You're saying you're glad to be out of the race. You're glad not to be governor anymore.
I'm glad not to be governor anymore. I'm glad to be out of the race.
Do you think you'll be president?
I agree with you. I don't think I've got a snowball's chance in hell, but I'm going to pretend like I do.
So you know that you're not going to get elected president?
No, I won't get elected president. But there's a lot of people that think I can get elected president. I can raise a lot of money. I don't know. And the other thing that's true is that I do want to do a book, and I do want to, you know, do a speaking tour. And why that's a criminal offense, I have no idea. Everybody else gets to do it except me. That cracks me up.
Because you quit in the middle of your term.
because they're breaking my ass with these lawsuits and with these investigations. I quit in the middle of the term. I'm $500,000 in the red on this stuff. I can't make any money. I can't live on the salary they pay me. It's a governor of Alaska. You know what I get this governor of Alaska?
Well, governor, it's been good talking.
No. Come on. No, hold on. What do you think I make as governor of Alaska?
I don't have any idea.
$25 an hour.
Bull crap.
What'd you say?
Bull crap.
If it's bull crap, you call up that guy that took over for me. I forget his name. The lieutenant governor.
You don't know the name of your own lieutenant governor?
No, I don't. Call him up and ask him. $25 an hour for an 8-hour day. And then you get half time. You don't get time and a half. You get half time after that. So you get $12.50.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
No! Sean Parnell, that's the guy. Ask him. $25 an hour. 8-hour day. What's it coming? About 165 stream? 200 times 5 is the stream? What's 200 times 5? It's 1,000 bucks a week. So I'm getting, $52,000, but you take off 2 weeks, I get $50,000 a year as governor. And then that's before taxes. So I'm taking home probably in a neighborhood of around, Alaska, 53, and then you take friends with bottles of paint.
Okay, well, we got to go. Let's just say you're very underpaid.
Well, hold on, Ms. Bunsey. Woo! About 38,000 to 39,000 a year I take home. You can't get tap water on that, okay? I can't keep my dog fed on that.
Well, you look like you're doing pretty good. Your home is very nice.
Yeah, the home is nice. That was a house we borrowed. Anyway, thank you very much, Phil. We're looking forward to our retirement. And the press has just been peachy dandy, and I don't care anymore. I really don't care. I hope they keep talking about me, okay? Because, as I said, I can chase down a moose on foot. I'll field dress every last one of those bastards. And the one I'm going to start with is that Couric. She thought she did it when she asked and made me look like an ass. I will field dress her. Hell with it.
As you like to hear him on the Phil Henry Show, this has been Governor Sarah Palin. I'm sure she didn't mean that crack about field dressing, sir.
I don't know.
We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. Coming up, our number 877-876-PHIL. Governor Patrick of Massachusetts accuses the zoo in Boston of scare tactics. Joe Jackson wants Michael Jackson's kids to tour. 877-876-PHIL. You better get her back and make sure that she doesn't really want to.
She says she wants to field dress Katie Couric.
Phil Henry.
Field dress.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, you heard it here, and you heard it here first. It's Sarah Palin. Once she becomes a private citizen, the first thing she's going to do is look for Katie Couric, gutter and field dresser. And my understanding, that's
it's a hunter technique, Phil, in which you truss it on a stick and carry it through a jungle.
What do you mean carry it through the jungle?
Well, that's what they do.
What do you mean carry it through a jungle, man? I don't even know if you know what you're talking about, man. If you're gonna gutter and field, what are we even talking about? Katie Couric getting gutted and field dressed for?
Because that's the technique. What is used by the people that do that?
Yeah, well, man, you're talking about field dress. And gutter woman carry through the jungle. Now what, is that racial?
Oh, it's not racial.
Then why did you say jungle? And what are you even talking about that? What, are they going to tie Katie Couric to a stick and carry her through the jungle like Ramar of the Jungle is leading an expedition or something?
Yeah, and a pith helmet and everything. She better look out.
You're high, man. You are high. Is he doing that paint again?
I found a couple of cans, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I did.
If you're huffing paint again... Boy, I'll tell you, I won't send you to the hospital this time. I'll send you to the hospital. It won't be for paint. You understand?
Yeah.
LaToya Jackson claims Michael was killed for money. Now, before we play this audio, please understand that LaToya Jackson was paid for this interview. She was paid by the News of the World of the Mail for the interview. It must be a beautiful thing to get paid and then just make up any horse dung you want to. And these guys sit there with their crooked teeth going,
"Now, LaToya, what was that against Michael?"
Carolyn Graham of the UK tabloid The Mail says LaToya Jackson made shocking allegations about the death of her brother. Here's LaToya Jackson. Thanks.
LaToya Jackson told me that she believes 100% that her brother Michael was murdered. Wow. She feels that he was surrounded by some very shady characters who didn't have his best interest at heart. The family don't want to do anything to interfere with the police investigation. But she said to me that there's evidence in the private autopsy that will be a bombshell to Michael's fans.
Graham explains LaToya's last interaction with Dr. Conrad Murray, Michael's personal physician, who TMZ says is at the center of the LAPD investigation.
LaToya said to me she went across to Dr. Murray and confronted him and said, look, what the hell happened to my brother? What on earth happened to Michael? And she said that Dr. Murray sort of mumbled a load of nothing, that he said, I'm sorry, Michael didn't make it. And then she said, in all the craziness, he basically disappeared.
Well, you know, it's. I'm sure it did sound like a bunch of nothing to LaToya. Well, LaToya, what happened was there were these chemicals. That's a bunch of, I don't know what that is. Forensic pathologist Dr. Cyril Weck tells the Today Show that he thinks a doctor will take the blame for Michael's death. Now, this guy may have something here.
Whoever is responsible for having provided Diprovan to Michael Jackson, in my opinion, is going to be the person who will be the most targeted.
Interesting person of all of them. We'll be back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more. Stick around. We've got pharmacists having to dispense Plan B, the Plan B pill.
Phil Hendry.